Today I'm going to talk to you about the Sabbath. And of course, what appropriate time is it to have the Sabbath on which we talk about the Sabbath. But before we begin, let's just bow our heads. Our Father in Heaven, we thank you for giving us the Sabbath. And we pray that as we study about this today, you may open our eyes to learn more about the wondrous reason that you've given us this gift. Help us to be able to use it in a way that will elevate us and uplift us to get to know you better. For we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was led to do this study because recently in the church bulletin, Sean put an Adventist Review article which was entitled, "Don't Sell the Sabbath Short." And of course I was at once interested, what does this mean? And the story is about an Adventist who belonged to a Bible study group of Christians, and he was the only Adventist in the group. At one time he was asked to lead the group while the leader was away, and he realized that he had a chance to present the Sabbath truth to them. And this was a good intention, but later he regretted it. I'll read to you in his own words what he meant. "After years of peripheral conversations, I finally had the chance to lead a Bible study about the Sabbath. As I announced the topic on a mid-January Monday, I was immediately met with looks of skepticism. For the next 2 hours, I presented a rigorous defense of Saturday's sanctity through both the Bible and history. Unfortunately, those defensive words, those skeptical looks became defensive words, and our study grew more contentious by the minute. I realized that despite my good intentions, my approach resembled a lawyer defending the innocence of his client. And the Sabbath is not on trial. I recently had the opportunity to present the Sabbath again, this time in Sabbath school. As I prepared for the class, I realized that the vast majority of our evangelistic efforts focus on convincing others that Saturday is God's day. Certainly, the seventh day is where we must begin. But that's only the starting point. The true power of the Sabbath comes when we have a biblical understanding of why we keep it and how God desires us to spend it. Despite going to Adventist schools for 16 years, writing for the Adventist Review, working at an Adventist hospital, and leading a Sabbath school class, I can honestly say that my Sabbath experience has simply skimmed the surface." So he realized that he was selling the Sabbath short. Sabbath truth is more, it's much more than just proving that Saturday is the right day. To illustrate it, just think about this. When a Sunday worshipper becomes a Seventh-day Adventist, a Seventh-day Sabbath keeper, do they just change their habits from Sunday to Saturday? No. I think all of you can see this is not true. It clearly involves a lot more than just a simple change of days. Just think about this. Start with a Sunday keeper. How do they regard Saturday Sabbath keepers? I think they usually say one of two things, or maybe both. Firstly, they say, the law was done away with, so we don't need to keep Sabbath. Alright? You've heard that before. Secondly, they might say, the Sabbath was changed to Sunday, so we keep Sunday. But the two statements, they're not compatible. Right? Because if, firstly, we don't need to keep the Sabbath because of the law, then why keep Sunday instead? You see, perhaps what most Sunday keepers will say is this: we keep Sunday to honor the resurrection, and so we don't regard it as a Sabbath in which we have to rest. Which really tells us that the reason for having a Sabbath is completely unknown, completely foreign to Sunday keepers. In other words, it's the vast majority of the Christian world doesn't understand what Sabbath is about. So, we need to show that the Sabbath is necessary for man to keep, and that Saturday is that day. Right? But which of these two things comes first? Do we first show that Saturday is the right day, and then show why God asks us to keep it? It's like teaching people, look, the tithe is 10%, without first telling them that God wants us to be giving. So what we need to do is to first present what the Sabbath is all about. Why the Sabbath was made for man. And of course I'm quoting from Mark chapter 2. Let's turn to that, where Jesus tells us that the Sabbath was made for man. And let's turn to Mark chapter 2, and we'll look at the context. And while we've got that, I want to read to you something from Gospel Workers. The labor for God is to study carefully the best methods, that he may not arouse prejudice or combativeness. This is where some have failed. By following their natural inclinations, they have closed doors through which they might, by a different method of labor, have found access to hearts, and through them to other hearts. You see, if we find that people are rejecting the Sabbath by the way we are presenting it, we have to think, why is this? And we have to think of a different method to see why people are rejecting this. We're not to just say, they rejected it, too bad, try somebody else. No. If we truly love people, we will try our best, figure out why they've rejected something, and then find another method. And so we need to do this with Sabbath. Mark 2, 27 and 28. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You know, when was the Sabbath instituted? It was after man was created. The Sabbath wasn't there before man, and man was meant to fit the Sabbath. The Sabbath was something given for the benefit of man. God instituted the Sabbath at creation. He set aside this time, this day, to spend time with His created beings. What was it God wanted to spend time with man for? It was for the benefit of man. You know, we know that Adam was created perfect, but even so, there was a lot that he could gain from communion with God on that day, one day each week. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 20. And verse 20. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. The Sabbath is a sign that God sanctifies us. You know, sanctification is a process by which our characters are changed to become more and more like God. And Sabbath is a vital part of that process. And this is one of the objectives of Sabbath keeping, that we can become more like God. It's a day on which we spend time beholding God, and by beholding, we become changed. I'll read to you another passage which you recognize. God saw that a Sabbath was essential for man, even in paradise. He needed to lay aside his own interests and pursuits for one day of the seven, that he might more fully contemplate the works of God and meditate upon his power and goodness. He needed a Sabbath to remind him more vividly of God and awaken gratitude, because all that he enjoyed and possessed came from the beneficent hand of the Creator. God designs that the Sabbath shall direct the minds of men to the contemplation of His created works. The Sabbath, ever pointing to Him who made them all, bids men open the great book of nature and trace therein the wisdom, the power, and the love of the Creator. Okay. Well, you know, there are many, many passages where we are talked to about the object of the Sabbath. The object of the Sabbath was that all mankind might be benefited. Man was not made to fit the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made after the creation of man, to meet his necessities. And as he should behold the proofs of God's infinite wisdom, his heart would be filled with love and reverence for his Maker. There is a great need for us to keep the Sabbath in mind, to keep creation in mind when we talk about the Sabbath. Let's turn to this verse that we should all know, Revelation 14 and verses 6 and 7. And you all know that this is the first of the three angels' messages. And it says, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, because the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth, the sea and the fountains of waters." And when you read that verse, if you're an Adventist, what do you think of first? Sabbath. But if you're just reading it for the first time, without having known about that, what would you think? Is it about Sabbath? It's about creation. It's worship God as the Creator. Of course, the Sabbath comes into it. And really, the creation and Sabbath are so closely intertwined. What is more a subject of interest these days? Is it the Sabbath, or is it creation and evolution? No contest. More people are talking about creation versus evolution than ever would talk about Sabbath. And in these last days, I believe, creation is a topic that we need to engage people about, because that is what leads us toward the Sabbath. And in our Sabbath keeping, we are told time and time again that we need to study the things of creation. Here we have in Second Testimonies, "The mind cannot be refreshed, enlivened, and elevated by being confined nearly all the Sabbath hours within walls, listening to long sermons and tedious formal prayers." You know, I'm not going to talk for much longer. All right? "The Sabbath of the Lord is put to a wrong use if thus celebrated. During a portion of the day, all should have an opportunity to be out of doors. How can children receive a correct knowledge of God, a more correct knowledge of God, and their minds better impressed than to spend a portion of their time out of doors, not in play, but in company with their parents? And listen to this, they will not be in danger of associating the character of God with everything that is stern and severe, but as they view the beautiful things which He has created for the happiness of man, they will be led to regard Him as a tender, loving Father." And what should we do to help our children see the joy of the Sabbath? All who love God should do what they can to make the Sabbath a delight, holy and honorable. Yet they can do much to exalt the Sabbath in their families and make it the most interesting day of the week. We should devote time to interesting our children. The Sabbath should be made so interesting to our families that its weekly return will be hailed with joy. Parents, make the Sabbath a delight, that your children may look forward to it and have a welcome in their hearts for it. All right, let's just go back to Mark 2:28 for a minute. And when we do, let's also look at Matthew chapter 12, because these two are accounts of the same incident. You see, the incident was simply Jesus and His disciples walking through the cornfields, plucking heads of grain, and the Pharisees said, "Look, why are they doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath?" You see, Jesus was defending His idea of Sabbath keeping by declaring that the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was not simply a day of not working. It was designed for the benefit of man. By focusing on the letter of the law and not considering the spirit, the Jews had made a big mistake. Is it a day for avoiding activities Or is it a day for making time for better, more uplifting activities? Let's look at Matthew chapter 12 and verses 5 to 8. And here Jesus is giving another argument. Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus here expands his explanation of the Sabbath day by pointing out that the priests actually work more. The same labor and secular business would be sinful, but the work of the priests was in the service of God, and their labor was in harmony with the object of the Sabbath. Christ would teach his disciples and his enemies that the service of God is first of all. The object of God's work in this world is the redemption of man. Therefore, what is necessary to be done on the Sabbath in the accomplishment of this work is in accord with the Sabbath. He said, and of course Jesus also said to the Jews, if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Their many heartless rites could not supply the lack of that truthful integrity and tender love which will ever characterize the true worshipper of God. Let's make sure that we do not have heartless rites in our Sabbath keeping. Let's learn this lesson Jesus was trying to teach his enemies. Let's study the way Jesus kept the Sabbath. Always ask ourselves, what does God do on the Sabbath? What does God do on the Sabbath? Here I'll read a bit more. The demands upon God are even greater on the Sabbath than upon other days. His people then leave their usual employment and spend the time in meditation and worship. They ask more favors of him on the Sabbath than upon other days. They demand his special attention. They crave his choicest blessings. And God does not wait for the Sabbath to pass before he grants their requests. Heaven's work never ceases, and man should never cease from doing good. The Sabbath is not intended to be a period of inactivity. I think you'll all agree that the importance of the Sabbath is to be a major issue in the last days. We need to show how vitally important it is. It is downtrodden. It needs to be uplifted. The need for Sabbath keeping should be shown. This is much more than just getting the right day. Because the Sunday keeper does not keep the Sabbath fully, even on Sunday. Therefore, the Sunday keeper needs to see how Sabbath keeping can be a blessing. It has to be a blessing to us before we can impart it to others. And 6 volumes of testimonies. The Sabbath question is to be the issue in the great final conflict in which all the world will act a part. It is our work to lead the people to understand this. We are to show them that it is of vital consequence whether they bear the mark of God's kingdom or the mark of the kingdom of rebellion. God has called us to uplift the standard of his downtrodden Sabbath. And then she says, how important then that our example in Sabbath keeping should be right. How we keep the Sabbath, that is the important example that we should show. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 66. And verses 22 and 23, just at the very end of the book of Isaiah. This gives us an idea of how we are to spend Sabbaths in eternity. And this tells us a little bit about how God intends Sabbath to be kept. Verses 22 and 23, Isaiah 66, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." This verse gives us an idea about God's original intention for the Sabbath. He would meet with them face to face every Sabbath. It is the high point of the week, meeting with our loving Father. Just think. It is meeting with someone who has saved your life. One who has done everything to ensure your joy and happiness forever. And one who will impart ever more interesting experiences every time you meet. Have you realized that? Someone said, God is the only person who is forever interesting. Let's look at Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11, and this will be our last verse that we quote. "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Let us contemplate how infinitely good and gracious and fulfilling it is to be with God. Do you love God? You will not only love God, but you will also like Him. Because with Him you will have joy and pleasure forever. You will find Him the best friend ever. And that's God's promise to us. And the Sabbath day is a time when we can experience that, when we can feel what it will be like when we live with God in eternity. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you today that we can gather together. We thank you for the Sabbath. We thank you that you have created us in your image, and that you give us your presence, that you want us to spend time with you. And we pray that we will give of ourselves on this day so that we can have time with you, with our friends, with our families. Help us to gain the blessing of the Sabbath by resting on this day with you. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.